Almost Friday.
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 Almost Friday. With things back to normal at work, I snuck past this week's bimbo with the rest of the crowd and avoided the whole "Who are you?" game that she likes to play. Coffee in hand and confident in the tasks ahead of me, I strode toward my cube. It didn't occur to me then, but I was getting some odd looks from coworkers as I passed by. When I got within earshot of my cube, Tanya came bolting out toward me.
"Oh, Mr. Collins, I was wondering when you would get in because I received a special package for you from the delivery guy and I wasn't sure exactly where you wanted it and the other girls in the office were hovering curiously around it so that I had to shoo them away and I just want you to know that I didn't read the card or anything and no one."
I just tried to put her voice out of my head and walked past her to my cube. Sitting on my desk was a flower arrangement. This was odd. I looked around for the card and pulled the envelope off of the plastic stem. Inside, the message. It read,
"I hope you rot in hell, you chicken-eating scum!"
Now they were getting a bit more creative. Of course, this wasn't the first death threat I'd gotten while working here at the firm, but it was the first one with a physical delivery. All the others had come via email. Now it seemed that they knew my work address. "Here," I said, handing the flowers to Tanya. "They're yours. Water them." She gleefully ran off to do whatever one does when receiving flowers from a sociopath obsessed with chicken death. Time to check the status of the desk cactus. Ah, yes, green. A moment of zen.
"Secret admirer?"
Lara asked over the cube wall. "Heh, yeah, love that chicken." We both returned to work. I called downstairs to have the media guys cook up something of a demo for the lemon saw people. I was hoping that one of them was actually familiar with the product. Then I thought a bit about how to thank Chung for handing over this great account. I tried to come up with some ideas that somehow involved lemon. You know, show the creativity at work. Maybe impress him enough to feel safe with his business here. But nothing great came immediately to mind. Finally, I gave that idea up and considered scheduling interviews with my potential new roommates. That's when I overheard some commotion in the next cube. It seemed that Lara had been saddled with an intern. How lucky. This one was a fuzzy-headed little brat. He looked kind of shifty, too. Glad I didn't get saddled with that one. Just then, Tanya returned to my cube and started babbling about the care of delivered plants. I reconsidered whether I'd gotten the right intern. With not much to do for the day until the media guys provided me with some material to show Chung, I left work to tend to interviews I set up for the day. My first one was with Ray Marshall. On paper, he seemed like a pretty good candidate. When he arrived for the interview, though, well, I offered him my hand to shake as soon as I opened the door, but he didn't take it. He simply grunted and walked inside. He was rubbing the back of his head like he was thinking or maybe itchy, and he looked around the place like a zoo monkey who had just been shunted to a new habitat. "I'm Jack," I said, trying again to be friendly. "Go ahead and have a seat." Ray sat down on the edge of the living room sofa, hands still scratching at that mysterious thing on the back of his head. Now that he was seated, he was rocking gently, forward and back, forward and back. "Okay, I just want to ask a few questions about your application, verify a few details." Ray grunted. "All right." Our interview continued like this for a while, me asking questions designed to provoke multi-word responses, and Ray retorting with a witty, or a well-worded, Then he broke out in a sudden, seemingly uncontrollable fit of barking. I asked my last question and quickly ushered him the heck out to the hall, making sure he left by spying on him from the kitchen window. I held greater hope for the next guy on my list, Guy Phillips. His jeans, t-shirt, and leather jacket didn't impress me as something someone wears to an interview, but he did ride it in on a Harley. He gave a firm handshake as he came in, which certainly impressed me enough to eliminate my first candidate. "So, Guy, nice bike."
"Yeah, I like it. I've got 3.
Our interview proceeded normally through most of the questions. He worked construction, pretty regular hours, which was nice. And he hadn't had any run-ins with the law, apart from a speeding ticket or two. At some point, though, Guy got hot and took off his jacket. His arms were covered with tattoos.
"Wow," I said, checking them out. "Nice tats." "I've got them on 90% of my body. Check it out."
Guy proceeded to strip off his shirt in my living room and reveal a chest full of tattoos. Many demon-looking things, quite a few skulls, few of those Grateful Dead bears. Say, I know on my application I said I didn't smoke, but how do you feel about a little weed? Guy pulled a small plastic bag from his jacket pocket and started to unroll it. Guy, you shouldn't smoke that in here. Oh, sorry, man. I didn't realize you weren't into it. Listen, if you're not down with this, I don't think I can move into this place. It would cramp my style. Yeah, and that's a shame, because I'd really like to have you. Oh well. I urged Guy to reapply his t-shirt and drive safely on his way back to Lucy and her diamond sky. I only hoped that the remaining applicants were better than these guys, for it was going to be a very long day. I didn't have any other interviews scheduled until after 1, so I had a quick lunch and reviewed the applications of the next couple guys. First up, Owen Winkler, some kind of computer programmer. He worked in the suburbs, so he would commute for the 8-to-5 on weekdays and be home on the weekends. When he showed up, he was fairly appropriately dressed for an apartment interview, with khaki pants and a simple plaid shirt. "Come on in," I said, leading into the couch. "Nice place you've got here," he said. "Yeah, thanks." We went through the standard interview questions. This time I made sure I hit on the topics of mental insanity and use of illicit drugs, and he seemed clean on both accounts. What I couldn't get over was how he always managed to turn the conversation back around to computers. I said, "Yeah, the doorbell chime is only in the living room." And he said, "That's kind of how the signal switch works in this new system I'm working on at the office. See, it's all on a state machine, so it's really isolated from the processing, just like the doorbell." Uh-huh. My eyes glazed over during his interview several times, especially when he started talking about something he called WordPress, or something like that. What is this blogging thing anyway? He kept rambling about some stupid event that this blogging people do late at night, or something. It's weird. He seemed alright, but there was something about him that I just didn't think I could live with in a roommate. I hate to say that maybe I don't get along well with nerds, and this guy... yeah, the only thing missing was a pocket protector. Next on the list was Harold Kent. Harold was my back pocket choice after reading through the applications I had remaining. Harold owned his own business, but apparently his wife had recently left him. I couldn't tell exactly the situation, but I guessed at this because on the form he faxed over, he had originally checked the married box, then he made a great effort to scratch that out and mark single. When Harold arrived, I was a bit taken back. In my doorway stood a frail-looking man with a cane. When I shook his hand, I was afraid I would break him. We talked for a while about his need for an apartment. Apparently, the confusion over his wife was due to her recent death. I guess old habits die hard. Ooh, that's a bad pun. So desperate for a roommate, I was about to offer the nice old guy my place, at least until work reinstated my full pay. But then he started complaining about goiter and how he was going to need a room for his pills. I started to imagine a wall full of prescription bottles in my bathroom, and worse yet, an overdosed old guy laying buck naked and dead on my tile floor. No, thank you. I thanked Harold and was helping him out the door when Henry Jacobs showed up. He helped me get the old guy down to his car and then came up to the apartment with me to do the interview. "Look," I said, "you're my fifth guy today, so I'm sorry if I'm a little gruff." "Yeah, that's all right, I can understand that." Harold hit all the hard questions on the interview easily, and he didn't seem to suffer from any of the strange perversions like the rest of the interviewees. "Say, you're the only guy I've seen who even remotely resembles normal. When do you want to move in?" "Well, the lease on my last place was up yesterday, so I'm kind of in a hotel till I find a good place. I don't suppose you'd take me tonight?" Just then the phone rang. I excused myself and checked the caller ID. Work.
"Mr. Collins, these guys from the media department keep calling about the Lemon Soul account, and I don't know what to tell them because they know things that I don't think that you told me, and I kept looking for you around the office, but you didn't seem to be anywhere, so I figured I'd give your cell phone a call, but when you didn't pick up the fourth time, I thought I'd try at home, and so could you please tell me if you're going to be back in the office today so I can tell these guys something?"
"One second." I pulled the spare key off the hook in the kitchen and threw it to Henry. "Thanks," he said, and made a motion that I assumed meant he was going to the hotel to pick up his things. "I'll be right in," I told Tanya. At the request of Tanya and the media guys, I came back to work. Incredulously, the bimbo tried to stop me again. Did I look like an intruder? As if anyone would walk in here without a good reason. I ran back down to my cube where Tanya was jabbering away on the phone.
She was saying something conversational about leprechauns when she noticed that I had arrived, and she stopped mid-sentence to inform the other party.
Here he is.
Hello, this is Collins.
Yeah, this is Bealsworth downstairs. We understand you ordered some mock-up promotional materials today.
Yes, is there some kind of problem? I asked.
This is for Lemon Saw.
Yeah?
Well, we were hoping you could tell us, that is to say, nobody really knew what it was for.
What do you mean you didn't know what it was for? It's Lemon Saw, for pity's sake.
Yeah, well, none of us have used Lemon Saw before, and there wasn't really a work order sent down describing what aspect of the product should be emphasized.
What aspect? What do you... Isn't it just a cleaner?
Well, I guess it can, clean things.
Don't you have any down there?
Look, we didn't know what you wanted us to do, so we...
Wait, do you have Lemon Saw down there, or don't you?
Well, no, not exactly.
Ah!
Look, we have a couple of things that we've gotten an artist to prepare.
Ah, so you have done some work. Well, what is it?
Hey, Bobby, roll that, play.
Lemon Saw, Lemon Saw, wash your car with Lemon Saw, clean your toilet, scrub your floors, Lemon Saw does so much more, brush your teeth, rinse your hair, lovely lemon scent everywhere. Lemon Saw, the multi-purpose cleaner.
Yeah, we were thinking something like that.
Does it actually do those things?
Well, I mean...
Look, never mind. I'm sending my intern down there, and she's going to straighten you guys out. I hung up the phone quickly. Tanya, you know what Lemon Saw does, right? She shook her head. I didn't have the slightest clue either. I was at a loss. Nobody seemed to know what this Lemon Saw thing did, or even what it was. I could hear Lara's voice in my head.
You're trying to advertise a product and you don't even know what it does? Ha ha ha.
Rather than remain ignorant throughout my pitch attempts at Chung, I decided to break down and educate myself on the background and use of Lemon Saw. Unfortunately, there was nothing, absolutely nothing, in the Lemon Saw account file to indicate anything about the product, so I had to venture out and find some. Well, it was at the end of the day, so I figured I would simply stop by the Chinese grocery and pick some up. These people sell dried fish heads in heat-sealed plastic bags. If they don't carry it, the product simply doesn't exist. As I walked in, the front door banged against the chimes, calling an attendant from the back. He was young, possibly the teenage son of the owners.
Yes, sir. Can I help you, sir?
I'm looking for some Lemon Saw.
Lemon Saw?
Yeah.
One moment.
He ran off down the aisle and around the corner out of sight. I poked around near the candy at the front counter and briefly wondered what was in the large barrel near the register when the boy returned with an older man behind him.
What you say you look for?
Lemon Saw?
Yes, we have. What flavor?
I don't think you understand what I want.
Yes, Lemon Saw. We have cherry, grape, orange, pecan, and mint. Sorry, all out, lemon.
I blinked at this a couple of times before answering. Just give me one of each.
Hop, boy!
He yelled at his son, who sped off down the aisle. The older man screamed something in Chinese toward the back of the store where the boy had gone.
Excuse me, sir, but could you tell me what this Lemon Saw does? You not know? You buy!
Yeah, but I just need to get some for work. I don't know what it does.
One second.
He screamed again toward the back of the store. As the boy made his way forward, the screaming was returned from a female voice somewhere still in back. The older man seemed suddenly disgusted, nodded toward me and the newly arrived case of assorted Lemon Saw bottles, and glided toward the back where the screaming continued unabated. The boy pushed a few buttons on the register and rung up the total.
Do you know what this stuff does? I asked him.
He shrugged. I paid him the money, and when I left with my box, they were still screaming at each other. I pulled one of the bottles in the box out to take a look at the label. In the dimming streetlight, all I could make out was Chinese letters. Great. I think I was destined not to learn what this stuff was really good for. I tossed the box in my trunk and wound my way through the city to my apartment. I probably should have returned the bottles to work so the media guys could work on something for tomorrow's presentation to Tony Chung, but I had to admit I was a little more curious about what was going on with the new roommate. I pulled up front, grabbed my box of lemon saw from the back, and headed inside. There wasn't actually much sign that anyone else was in the place. Apart from the light being on, there was just one suitcase on the living room sofa. I heard some noise from the unused but now occupied bedroom and looked to see Henry coming down the hall to greet me. "Hey there," he said. "What you got?" "Just some stuff for work. I wanted to see how we were doing moving in." "Oh, just fine." He stopped for a moment, then looked in my box. "Is that lemon saw you got in there?" I'm always amazed by serendipity. Here I had been chasing around town looking for someone, anyone, who could tell me anything about lemon saw, and there was this guy in my home who could have answered the question the whole time. "Yeah," I said, maybe a little too enthusiastically. "Say, do you know what this stuff does?" Henry looked at me like I just fell off the turnip truck over a cliff and bumped my head on every branch on the stupid tree that broke my fall. "Of course, give me one of those." He took the grape. I hadn't noticed it before, but Henry was wearing rubber gloves. Maybe he was cleaning out the new room when he moved in. It was a bit dusty. "Hey, wait!" He squirted a sizable portion of purple goo from the nozzle of the lemon saw container onto the rug where I had spilled my coffee last month. The stain had never come out. He got down on his hands and knees and rubbed the purple stuff into the carpet. It slowly began to disappear. "Unbelievable," I said. "I know. Are you going to use all of that at work? I could use some around here." "No," I said, dumbfounded. "Knock yourself out." Henry tossed me the grape bottle and took the box full of other flavors toward his room. "Grape is the worst flavor. Don't you worry, I'll be working my way back down here with the rest of these." I tossed the bottle between my hands, then headed back out to the car to see if the media guys could make something of this before tomorrow's meeting. Laura's intern's name is Forrest. I learned this the next morning after I arrived at work and Tanya refilled my coffee. There may yet be something to this speed talking thing. I think I learned more about what's going on in the office from a single conversation with Tanya than I would by sitting in the hall all day. We were getting ready to present our ideas to Chung, or Tony, as Tanya was now fond of calling him. Apparently, they didn't just go to the opera 2 nights prior, but also to an elegant dinner the next evening. She had picked up a few new outfits and was starting to fit in among the others in the office, even with her unusual way of talking. We packed up the media that the media guys had put together at the last minute and ran down to the conference room to meet with Chung and his people. They were already seated when we arrived. Tanya skirted her way around to where Tony was sitting and chose a seat very close to him. Well, whatever kept him happy long enough to close this deal was fine with me. I began the presentation by showing some slides of the product and a few of the things that it could be used for. It turned out that someone on the janitorial staff could read Cantonese and translated some of the writing off the back of the bottle for the media guys. By the time this meeting had rolled around, they had actually put together a nice package that I thought we could sell. Chung's people sat quietly through the presentation, with the exception of Chung himself, who was busy cooing over Tanya in the darkened conference room. When the lights came up, they all softly applauded, then Chung interjected, "Where's Tanya's idea?" Tanya's idea? I didn't know what he was talking about.
"Oh, I was just down in the media lab last night and put together a little thing with those guys. It's really no big deal and wasn't any effort at all, but if you really want to hear it, I'm sure Mr. Collins won't mind, would you, Mr. Collins?"
Well, sure. I couldn't exactly tell her no, now that the whole $23 million show practically rested on Chung's lap, that is, her sitting in it. One of the media techs that operates these things powered the projector up again, and a simple message in bold white type appeared on the black background. A voice read the message.
"Lemon saw, the multi-purpose product."
Chung's men weren't overly impressed, but they clapped politely. Chung, on the other hand, was positively enraptured.
"Bravo! Bravo!"
I guess things had gone well, I guess. One of the secretarial people poked her head in the conference room just then. She said there was an urgent call from my roommate. I told her I would be right there. Chung and his men left the building happy and said they would return with their final comments on whether they would continue to pursue advertising with our firm by morning. I politely thanked them and hoped that they did not take Tanya's simple experiment as too bad a reflection of Roberts and Watson. For the first time in a while, I was optimistic about my work projects, and I left to find the phone to see what had happened back home. When I finally got to the phone, Henry was going on about how everything was okay now, the stereo was still working, and there was nothing to worry about. "What do you mean by the stereo is still working?" I asked him. "Well, I was cleaning it, and I accidentally dripped some cleaner inside, and there were some sparks, but I think it's all sussed out now." This wasn't the first issue with Henry and the cleaning. The night before, he had stayed awake the entire night to scrub everything in the kitchen. I was up in the middle of the night, having had some dream about lemon saw that made me thirsty, and wandered into the kitchen for some ice water, which is where I found Henry scrubbing the refrigerator floor, with all of its contents spread out on the kitchen counters. I thought about having him explain, but then I changed my mind, got my water, and returned to bed without saying a word. He continued to scrub. So the only thing the renter's application didn't properly filter is the neat freaks. Anyway, I wasn't going to let it get me down. I was about to square one of the biggest accounts in my career and save the company from more pay cuts or even layoffs. I half expected to be promoted for this. So I was going to celebrate. I called up Bob and had him meet me at Rudy's Bar, a place we go to hang out on special occasions and scout out girls.
"Aw, man, you sublet to a guy with his clothes packed in a suitcase?"
"Yeah."
"What did I tell you would happen?"
I had no choice but to let him berate me. It didn't happen often, but when it did, I probably deserved it. "Look, I'm not going to dwell on this anymore. I'm here to have a good time. If I'm right, I won't have to put up with him much longer anyway." I noticed a girl at the opposite corner of the bar looking in my direction. She was fairly attractive and kept trying to be discreet about her gazes. But the last time I saw her do it, I just fixed on her eyes and she looked right back at me and smiled. "See ya, buddy. I'm gonna go get that girl's number. Good luck." I ducked into the door of the conference room just as Roberts was calling the morning's meeting to order. One too many drinks at the bar last night with Bob left me a little woozy in the morning, but I managed to pull myself together well enough to be presentable. I tried to find Tanya before the meeting began to see if she had the scoop on what it was about, but I didn't find her until I entered the conference room and saw her standing next to Roberts. Roberts began,
"As you know from our last meeting, we were having some difficult times here at the firm, but we're working our best to get things back to normal and regular operations. Thanks once again to everyone for pitching in and to do their best to help restore the company. Now, thanks to one of our more motivated associates, we don't have to worry about that anymore."
"Oh yeah, here comes my promotion and raise.
Mary Ashby, would you please stand up?"
"Huh?"
"Mary has been with the firm for a few years now, and in these dire times, she took it upon herself to search out the Lemon Saw account and made sure it made it into the apparently capable hands of our new intern, Miss Tanya Evermere."
"What?"
"And thanks to Tanya, under the tutelage of Jack Collins, standing back there near the door, thanks to Tanya, we were able to successfully land this $23 million advertising account with Lemon Saw."
"What?"
"As a result, not only will there be no need for the pay reduction, but we're going to offer Tanya a permanent position at our firm should she decide to return after college. So, thanks everyone for putting in and continuing to do your best. We have a long year to look forward to, so keep at it, team. That's all. Thanks, everyone."
"What?"
Bob and I sat on the couch on Thursday afternoon in my apartment, now so clean it was even missing any trace of Henry. Yeah, the first thing I did when I left that meeting was call Henry and tell him it wasn't working out.
"Poor guy, he'd probably have to go back and live with his mama now. Heh."
Bob tugged back his beer and took another gulp. It was good to lounge around my own place for the first time in a while, and not worry about where the rent was going to come from, or whether my stuff would all be set on fire. It was only a few short days stuck with a roommate for paying rent, but it seemed like too long. So I didn't get the promotion. What was I really expecting? Both Laura and Bob seemed to think it was a tragedy that I got shafted for the credit, but that's life, I guess. You get kicked in the crotch sometimes. You gotta get up off the ground and keep walking at some point. Just laying there gets you nothing. As a matter of fact, I was planning a little surprise of my own for that credit thief, Mary Ashby. Maybe next week, maybe the week after, but certainly when she least expected it. Bang! And then I would get the credit I deserved. I didn't feel good or bad about Tanya. Her permanent position was basically as a paid intern, and I opted to keep her around under my wing, as was said. She proved pretty useful to have around, really. When Bob heard about her first day, he insisted that I introduce them. To me, that seemed like the perfect match. The mere thought of tormenting my best bud like that brought happy tears to my eyes. I hadn't figured out who was sending the death threats, but I'm sure their time would come, too. In the meantime, the only dead chickens I would have to worry about came from the old bird next door, who had promised to cook us both dinner when she saw us coming in earlier that afternoon. Know what, Bob? I'm gonna call that girl from the bar. You're the man! Dialing her number, I knew fate would be kind, because what could go wrong if I was sitting on my couch with my best bud and a beer, and it was almost Friday?